Welcome to episode 2 of Under the Radar with Travis McClapp. My guest tonight is Stephanie Walsh, host of Side B Radio, which is an internet radio show you can hear on live365.com. I talked to Stephanie for about an hour the other night, and we discussed some of the things that she's accomplished on her show and some of the things that she's currently working on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. So how long have you been hosting Side B?
I started Side B at school in the fall of 2009. So I was off air August of 2011 to September of last year. I had like a year hiatus because I was trying to figure out my new situation when I moved and stuff. And then I've been on Live 365. It'll be a year next week.
Okay, so that's a little while then.
Yep.
And you're enjoying it so far?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun when things go right.
Yeah. Unlike tonight with our Skype issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, technical difficulties can totally kill a show for you.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, when I can manage to do everything correctly, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that always helps when it works out, you know?
Exactly.
So, I know you've wanted to be a radio DJ for a long time. You went to school at Connecticut School of Broadcasting for that, right?
I did, yes. The summer of 2005, I think it was.
Okay. And do you think that helped you out at all, or was it easier to just get in there and do it?
I would say that the training there definitely helped because, like, I kind of, you know, it was kind of easier to fall back into once I got into the radio station because I was like, oh, I've used a mixer for it before, and oh, I've, you know, I know how to do levels and things like that. So, yeah, it helped. I wish I was able to get more out of it because when I graduated from CSB, I was actually handed an internship at the Buzz, but I wasn't really able to do much there because they didn't have the morning show anymore.
Right.
Howard Stern was already being syndicated on the Buzz. And then, like, they would call me last minute and be like, oh, can you do this? But, like, I was in college and I had a day job. So, like, no, I wasn't available, like, at the drop of the hat to come do something. Even though, God knows, I wanted to do it more than anything because I wanted to work for the Buzz.
But yeah,
it didn't really work out.
Well, you know, it doesn't even exist anymore, so.
And, well, it is online still.
Oh, it is on, okay. That's where,
yeah.
That's where,
I don't know who still works there, but I know that it is still around, because I still follow, like, Ross and Jason and all them on, like, on social media, so.
Yeah. Now we're going to talk about how awesome Justin Timberlake is.
And I mentioned how I watched the VMAs. Obviously, I was watching for one reason, but I noticed
Justin Timberlake, of course.
But I noticed that they gave out the award for best rock video during the pre-show.
Did Justin Timberlake win it?
No, 30 Seconds to Mars won it.
What?
But he wasn't nominated in that category because he's not rock.
That's an outrage. We're talking about Justin Timberlake here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he won several other things, though. So.
He's the greatest entertainer of our time.
Really?
Yeah. He can sing. He can dance. He can act. He's got a clothing line. He owns a restaurant.
Wait, he does?
Yeah.
I didn't know about his clothing line. I've been to the restaurant, though.
Yeah, see? You know what I'm talking about. Justin Timberlake. Is there anything he can't do?
I'm sure there is, but it's okay.
We don't know what it is yet.
I don't know, man. He is super talented, though. It was really nice of him to let them hand out awards at his concert.
That's right.
So.
Everybody needs to bow down to Jay Timberlake.
He's the president of pop. Did you hear what Jimmy Fallon said?
How heavy is that?
Okay. You need to stop. I'm definitely not going to do a Justin sing along with you.
Oh, well, we could never do it justice.
No, we wouldn't. because he's just so talented.
I could just devote a whole entire show to my love for Justin Timberlake.
I bet you could.
Up next, we talk about how Steph got her start in journalism. Did you always want to do talk radio specifically? Did you always want to do interviews with people? Or did you want to be just strictly like a radio DJ where you just go on and say, "Hi, I'm Steph. How you doing today? Here's Green Day," and play the song? Or did you want to do a little of both? Or
honestly, when I decided I wanted to be in radio, I wanted Mark Summer's job.
Uh-huh.
He was the morning host.
The morning buzz. Yeah.
So, and then, like, when I realized I couldn't have Mark Summer's job, I appreciated, like, Davis. I appreciated this woman. I met her at Wild 95.5. Her name was Monty. She did the shift after the morning show, so she was, like, 10 to 2.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that would be a good shift. And, you know, she just chills and listens to music, and, you know, she'll take phone calls or whatever. It's not that heavy.
Right.
I was never like, oh, I want to be like this broadcaster person who does interviews, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, I mean, it's kind of, it gets a little boring, I guess, just to be like, oh, here's a song for you.
Yeah.
Here's a song for you.
Right.
You know? So, yeah. Some of my friends call my show, like, talk radio with music.
Yeah.
And I guess it's more that than, like, a music show with some talking. I guess it is more talk with music.
Yeah.
But obviously it would be better if I had a more of a morning show kind of deal with, like, you know, co-hosts and stuff, but it's hard because right now I broadcast from home, so
yeah,
like, I'm not going to invite somebody over each week.
Yeah.
Like, sit in my room with me and broadcast, but yeah, I mean, I like doing the interview thing. I like having people call into the show and talk to them that way. I do like doing video interviews now.
Yeah.
Kind of been afraid of doing that because I don't really like being on camera myself. But then, you know, it's fun to have it up on YouTube, and it's fun for people to, like, get to see the facial expressions and everything. But I don't know. I mean, some people have a video voice, and, you know, they can emote to you through just using the voice. But sometimes it's better to be able to see the faces that they're making, too. Because, like, some people are really just so expressive that it adds a different element to the story to be able to look. Them while they're talking. So, I don't know. I like doing both. I don't know what my preference is. I mean, like, having them just call into the show is easier, usually, because I can just get them on their phone or something instead of scheduling time.
Right, yeah, I know scheduling is kind of hard to...
I don't know, video's fun.
Yeah. So not really wanting to get into interviews, how did that happen for you? How did you sort of start interviewing people?
Well, when I worked at the college radio station, the station manager said, like, you should try to get, like, content for your show, and you should interview, like, the bands that you play, or things that are relevant to your audience's interests. And I was like, okay, well, how do I, you know, get an interview with Green Day, you know? And so he told me, like, you know, which to contact, like, record labels and stuff like that. But really, reaching out directly to people has been much more effective for me than using, like, labels and things.
Right.
Aside from, there is a company now, like a promotional company that works with several bands and several labels, and they've given me a lot. But they're most, like, they're honestly, like, at this point, it's bands that I'm not really, like, I'm not really familiar with, but I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, you want to hand me an interview and let me go see a free concert? Absolutely, I'll just go.
Right.
But other than that, like, you know, like, my first interview on air was with Chris Traynor, who was the guitarist for Bush.
Yeah. Next, we'll discuss Stephanie's views on podcasting versus live broadcasting. So when you went off the air at your college, you decided to start doing the show from home. What made you decide to sort of do a live show as opposed to what we're doing now, where you can just pre-record it and put it out there kind of on demand in a podcast?
I I really love the live audience feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like being able to interact with the people who are listening to my show. Like, I have the chat room up during the show, and if the chat room, for whatever reason, doesn't work, like, I have people tweeting at me and stuff like that. I don't know, it's just fun.
Next, we're going to get into the merits of crowdfunding and the costs of producing a radio show out of your home. Speaking of having to pay your monthly fees, you have a crowdfunding project up right now, right?
Yes, I do.
So how's that going? Do you want to give that a little plug?
I'm not proud of it. Well, okay, so basically, I just got back from Chicago like 2 weeks ago,
uh-huh.
And I realized that I have a lot of stuff coming up in October. Actually, it's just the first week of October. I'm scheduled to be in LA with this band that I work with and these guys that I work with, and just a bunch of things are happening out in Los Angeles, and we're looking at all of our funds and everything, and I realized that I don't quite have the money to be going and spending a week in LA.
Right.
But there's so much content that I could be getting out there.
Yeah.
So, a couple of people I talked to were like, well, you know, you have an audience, you should reach out to your audience and see if they want to help you. And I am actually, it took me a while to get convinced to do this, because I'm not a fan of asking my fans for money. First of all, I don't consider myself as having fans. So it's weird for me to say it that way, but I don't know, I feel weird saying like, oh, hey, you watch my stuff, so give me some money, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, it just got to the point where I was like, it won't hurt to have it up, and if people want to donate, like, cool.
Yeah.
So, and I've been trying to, like, I don't want to spam anyone with it. I don't want to be that guy. Because, like a friend of mine, when he was trying to promote his project a couple months ago, literally that's all he posted about on Twitter. That's all it was. Just, hey, did you see this? Hey, donate to this. Hey, don't forget this. And I messaged him and I was like, you're being really annoying, and I could see why you're not getting funded right now, because you're not interacting with people, you're just asking them for money.
Yeah.
So, and you know, so there's a fine line there, and I've been updating, like, once a day, I guess, just to be like, oh, hey, wow, look at this, you guys are still doing this, that's awesome of you.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's set at, like, $600, because I would like to be able to cover the show for the month, as well as have, like, money to get out to Los Angeles.
Right.
But I kind of don't believe that's going to happen. I don't think that I'm going to get $600.
Right.
But the way that I have it set up so that it's not all or nothing. I'm actually getting whatever people are donating.
Okay.
So far I've gotten $180, which is actually, it's like $160-something after their fees on that website. But, yeah, it's pretty cool that people are doing that. I tried to view incentives.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure what I could offer people, but for $50, I decided if you donate $50, you can co-host the show with me, like, okay, for an episode, and that I will include, like, giving you a copy of your show.
So that's would be obviously for people that are in your area of New York then, right?
No, it's for anybody. We could do it over Skype.
Okay. So you have the setup over there to accommodate that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So that's mostly how I do live call-ins on air anyway, is through Skype.
You have one of those newfangled computers over there?
Yeah, fancy high-tech equipment.
You can play Mortal Kombat with a friend in Vietnam?
Pretty much. So, actually, somebody donated. She lives in Maryland. She pledged $50.
Okay.
So, I've actually never spoken to her, but she wrote a little message, and she was like, I've always really liked your show, and I support you, and I'm glad I can help, so here's this.
Yeah, well, you guys are going to be co-hosts, so.
Yeah, see if she wants to do the show. For $15, I put that you can make the playlist for the show.
Okay.
So, and there's some stipulations there with, like, what Live365's policies are, like, that you can't have, like, the entire show be one artist.
Okay.
Like, I can't play an album for you, you know?
Right.
But if you want multiple songs by an artist, it just kind of has to be spread out.
Yeah.
So, and I'll just go through that with them, too, like, whoever donates that. My mom and my sister actually donated, and I thought that was so cute, because, you know, my family is not super supportive of the radio stuff.
Right.
So I thought it was sweet that they chipped in.
Well, and your sister is not too supportive of crowdfunding in general. Right. In the interest of being fair, I haven't always been that supportive of crowdfunding myself. Stephanie and I have some very different views on the subject, although that conversation could probably take up an entire other show. But just to make sure that I'm saying everything correctly here and representing myself correctly, I'm not super supportive of crowdfunding, but I'm not completely against it either. Just to put that out there.
Yeah, and she messaged me and she was like, but, you know, I know this is really important to you. And it really is. Like, this whole LA trip, I just feel like I will get so much, so much content.
Yeah.
That, you know, it'll kind of last a while. Like, if I film a whole bunch of stuff and I do a bunch of interviews, I can spread them out. Like, I can sporadically release them and things.
Right.
And I feel like, because it's an entire week, and I was able to get it off of work and everything, so, like, there's just so much going on while I'm out there. So, I don't know. I'm really excited, and I really hope it all works out, but we'll see.
Can you tell us any of the things you have planned, or is that super top secret?
Well, no, it's not top secret. One of them I'm sure people know about. My friend Joey and his friends, they're filming a pilot called Craig the Genie.
Right.
I
think I might have heard a little about that. Did you maybe tweet about that once?
Maybe once or twice.
Just once or twice.
But they got that through Kickstarter. They got the funding for that. They're filming their pilot episode, and a band that I'm very close to, Beneath the Sun, I convinced the boys that are filming
this pilot. They're going to be in that pilot, right?
Yeah, I convinced them to use my band in their party scene, because they had mentioned how they like parties with live music as opposed to, like, DJs.
Right.
I was like, well, you guys are filming a party scene. Why don't you use a band? And they're like, oh, do you have one in mind? And I was like, as a matter of fact, I do.
Yeah. Here's the card.
Yeah, exactly. So that worked out. So the band is going out there. Some of them are already out there, actually, because they have friends in LA.
Okay.
So the band's going to be in this episode that they're filming. But the band is also going to be filming a music video.
Okay.
That I'm actually hoping to get the boys from Craig the Genie to be in, but I haven't discussed that with them.
Little cross promotion.
Yeah. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
So then there's also, so there's the pilot, there's the music video, there's a band that I know that's based in LA that I was told that when I'm in LA we could get together for an interview. There's a couple of actors that I know that I want to interview while I'm out there.
Yeah.
So basically all of the contacts that I have in LA, like, I intend to reach out to, like, besides all of the things I just named to you.
Right.
But except for, like, Darren Chris, like, I'm not trying to do anything with Darren while I'm out there.
But why is that? You guys aren't cool anymore?
It's not even that. Like, we're totally fine. I saw him at his show when he was in New York, and like, you know,
is he just super busy?
Yeah, completely. It's like, I don't even now, like, when I went to see him in June, I went to his show because, like, his manager gave me tickets and I was on the guest list and everything.
Right.
But, like, the manager set that up. Like, I didn't even know if Darren knew I was coming.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had my backstage pass and I went into his dressing room and whatever, and it wasn't like he was like, what the hell are you doing here? But
yeah, he wasn't expecting you, I guess.
I don't think that he even approves the list. I think it's just like, you know, take care of my people, and he lets the manager, you know, do whatever he does, so.
Right. Yeah, I've noticed that, like, I've been trying to get interviews with some people that are a little more well-known for the show, and, like, so far I haven't really gotten any responses. I know I tried to interview Mick Foley when he was in town, and he's actually, so far, the only person that's responded to me, which I thought was pretty cool, because he's up there on the fame level of the people I've tried to contact. And, you know, he told me that, you know, I had to, you know, everything went through WWE, so it wasn't even up to him.
Right. Well, I know that that's a lot of the situations, like, especially with, like, Broadway people, you have to talk to the booking for the show that they're in.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be like, oh, hey, you know, guy, can I interview you? They have to be like, oh, you have to contact so-and-so at this and that and whatever. It's all a process.
Next, we talk about some different directions the show could take if the funding were to ever be too much to continue in its current format. So if you, let's say that you couldn't, you know, let's say if eventually if it, you know, the fees and everything for your show just got to be too much, would you consider switching it over to more of a podcast type show and just instead of playing the more well-known bands, play the indie bands that you could easily get permission from?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably keep doing something as long as I can.
Uh-huh.
It's a fun outlet for me. I really like suggesting music and discovering new music and, you know, meeting bands and doing all this. So, right. It's totally my side job. Like, obviously, I don't get anything out of this other than the satisfaction of having a fun thing to do.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, if push came to shove, I'm sure I could switch over to, the talk aspect. I would probably, if I'm going to pre-record something or if I'm going to do something along these lines, like with a podcast with more talking and all that, yeah. I'd probably want to plan them out a little more.
Right.
Because, honestly, my show, I don't spend too much time making, a rundown or anything, and I know that I should,
yeah.
But really, I just kind of I make talking points, and I'm like, all right, I kind of want to touch on this tonight, and then I make the playlist, and I figure, you know, 3 songs, 4 songs at a time, talk a little, whatever, but I feel like if it's majority talking, I would want to have a real rundown of exactly how it's going to go, and you know, okay, this topic for this long, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I might not do one once a week, just because I have so much other stuff going on in my life, with work and everything.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, maybe I would end up doing it bi-weekly or monthly or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that because I was thinking, you know, I mean, it is cool to play the bigger bands, but you know, in all reality, it's not like, you know, they need our help getting exposure or anything. Whereas, you know, if you were to go kind of the more indie route, they'd probably would embrace it more and say, sure, you know, whatever I can do to get it out there, here's permission. I know, at least from my perspective as an independent artist, if somebody was like, hey, can I play your music? I'd be like, yeah, sure, do whatever you want, you know?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I have a few of those bands, because I try to make sure to touch on, local artists and stuff like that on my show. And I know plenty of them that I could, easily just play the same bands each week, but I also I don't really want to make it redundant either.
Right.
But it's actually one of the things I've learned, because my audience is some of them are a lot younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
And they don't know the music I grew up with.
Yeah.
So I've actually there's a, I think she's 18 now. But when she started listening to me, you know, she was 15 or something.
Right.
She loves Bush, and she didn't hear about them until she listened to my show. And now she's this huge fan. And she tweets to Gavin, he's responded to her before. It's adorable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, look, I did that. So I kind of even though, yeah, you're right. They're all fine. They're all, you know, well taken care of. But it's kind of cool to show, the younger generation, the kind of music that I listen to.
Right. That is pretty cool.
There's kids who are oh, I'm totally into, Green Day, you know? But,
yeah.
They're into new Green Day.
Yeah. They don't know nothing about Green Day.
Exactly.
They don't know Gilman Street.
So, you know, you gotta educate them. You gotta educate the children.
It's our civic duty.
It is.
You have your radio show, and you've also, you have a website you write for now, right?
Yes. I contribute occasionally to a publication called Pop Raft.
Uh-huh.
And
how, did that come about?
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Get into
it. There was another publication, which is called Leaky News.
Okay.
And it started out as a Harry Potter fan site type thing.
Right.
And it started out as the Leaky Cauldron was the original site, I guess. And then from that, they branched off into Leaky News.
Did they get sued?
No, they like this. A woman who runs it actually used to work with J.K. Rowling. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, like they were one of the first. Like they did MuggleNet with like their podcast, and they got to know J.K. Rowling. And I think that this woman, her name is Melissa Anelli. Uh-huh. I believe she was like a contributor for Pottermore, which is that interactive Harry Potter site that Scholastic has.
Okay.
So through this all, they started doing conventions called LeakyCon.
Yeah, I've seen you talk about that.
Yeah, well, they had they got Starkid involved with LeakyCon because Starkid, you know, they're part of the Harry Potter fandom too because they did the Harry Potter musicals.
Right.
So anyway, I always knew who this woman was because she kind of stole my gig with interviewing and promoting the Star Kids.
Yeah.
So when I met her, I actually met her at an Anthony Rapp and Adam Pascal concert. Because it turns out that she used to be a giant Rent fan, and then because she lived in New York and she used to go see Rent all the time, she got to know Anthony Rapp, and they became friends. So anyway, I met her at his concert, and I was like, oh, haha, you stole my gig. I used to do interviews with Star Kids, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
She was like, oh, wow, so you do all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I'm awesome. And so she invited me to work with her at Leaky News. And we had exchanged a couple of emails. And when I went to LeakyCon last year, she had told me to get in touch with her senior editor, whatever, Zachary Jaden.
Uh-huh.
So it turned out that Zach and I actually hung out at LeakyCon because he was friends with some of my friends who were guests. The guys, they're known as the Warblers on Glee.
Right. Darren's part of that, right?
Well, he was, but yeah, so the guys that sang with Darren.
Okay.
So
that's what they're really called. They're not called the Warblers. They're called the guys that sang with Darren.
They are, though, depending on how deep your fandom love of Glee is. So, anyway, so Zach and I actually hung out. Like, he was in my hotel room and stuff, and I didn't know that it was him. Like, I didn't put two and two together. And then I realized it, and I was like, oh, shit, Melissa told me to come work with you. And he was like, oh, great. Like, yeah, let's get something set up. And then literally right after LeakyCon ended, Zach left Leaky News, and he started Pop Rap. And when he left, he apparently, you know, it's bad blood. There's a lot of drama there. But he invited me to write for him. And I was like, well, I was going to write for Leaky. Like, I don't know you like that.
Right.
And I know, like, that Leaky, like, I know that Melissa and I talked about me doing all this great stuff with her.
Yeah.
So I had messaged her and I said, look, what's the deal? Zach wants me to work for him. I'd like to work for you. And she basically told me to go to hell.
Oh.
So I decided after, like, I really thought about it because I wasn't sure if I was going to burn any bridges or anything.
Yeah.
But then I just thought, you know what? It's a publication and it's promotion and whatever, and I'll do it. And personally, like, now that I've gotten to know the guy that runs it, like, I love Zach. I think he's a great guy. I stayed with him in Orlando a couple days left when I was down in Florida, actually.
Right.
So, yeah, he has this vision for, you know, entertainment news, and he's got some awesome connections with some fandoms, and then I felt like it was cool to be able to write news about stuff that I care about to a platform that would care and would also maybe appreciate the information.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, you know, typing shit on my blog. Because he's, like, PopRapt has a huge audience. Like, there's, like, 150,000 followers on Twitter and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I would do more with them, but I feel like my interests are not quite as relevant to their interests
right.
as they could be. So I do, like, I have, like, a fancy title, and I think that I might still have that title, but honestly, I've written, like, 2 articles in the past, like, month and a half.
Up next, we cover social media and all of the different ways that you can find Stephanie on the internet. You have a page now where people can ask you questions, too, right?
Yes. I don't know. I found it, like, through these other fangirls. Like, It's called ask.fm.
Right.
And you can just go send people questions, like, anonymously or not.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know. I kind of like, if I'm bored, it's kind of fun to have, like, a ton of questions thrown at you.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Sometimes they're kind of weird.
Have you got any weird questions on there, or?
Well, I got a 17-year-old boy from Jamaica, New York, which is just past where I live.
Right.
He was, like, trying to hit on me on there.
Uh-huh.
And that was weird, especially when I realized he was 17. I was like, why are you talking to me?
Like, did he...
like, older women, and I'm like,
Did he know you, or, like, had you talked before or anything, or?
No, he claimed to, though. He was like, oh, I love the radio show. Oh, I totally love, like, Star Kid. And, like, he was trying to, like, talk to me like that. And then, like, he asked me to follow him on Twitter, so I did, because I didn't know who he was yet.
Right.
And so then on Twitter, I was like, wait, he's 17. And I was like, wait, he goes to this school, and I was like, reading his stuff, and he just talks to, like, people. Like, so I'm guessing he just, like, scrolled through my answers.
Yeah.
And, like, my bio and stuff, and just, like, picked stuff about me to, like, pretend like he knew about.
Right.
But yeah, no, I don't think that he was actually, like, a fan or anything like that.
So you got a little stalker then, huh?
I mean, he didn't get to, like, I told him, like, to leave me alone. Like, I just kind of was eventually like, okay, you're really nice and everything, and you're adorable, Mr. 17-year-old, but you need to stop, because it's not going to happen. And right. Then he was like, when I turn 18, should I hit you up? And I said, no. Like, no, that's right. Not. So, I don't know. But no, I haven't really... It's been a while since I got any, like, juicy, like, gossipy hate stuff.
Yeah.
It's happened before. There was a group of people who, like, tried to, like, make my life miserable for a while there. This was in, like, the spring of 2011, though. They got over it.
Yeah. Anybody ever ask you what's up with your dumbass face?
Yeah, I got that question once, actually.
How did you respond to that? How did that make you feel?
I was confused.
I saw that on there. I was appalled. I was like, who would ask a question like that?
Yeah.
It just wasn't right.
Cool.
Did you feel like you were being bullied when you got that?
No, actually, because like I said, I've gotten worse, so that didn't really bother me.
I noticed, though, that a lot of people rush to your defense.
That happens sometimes.
So that made me feel good, because I was like, they're banding together.
But,
well, so speaking of, like, how your supporters and everything, how many social networks are you a part of online?
I have Facebook.
Well, while we're going through them, let's tell people how they can follow you. Facebook, you are at Side B Radio?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/SideBRadio.
Okay. And you have Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter is at Side B Radio.
At Side B Radio, okay. What else do you have?
I'm on Tumblr.
Tumblr? And what's that one?
Well, I have 3 Tumblrs. One of them is Side B Radio.
Okay, so Side B, is it just sideberadio.tumblr.com or something?
Yeah, sideberadio.tumblr.com.
Okay.
I have YouTube.
Okay, is that YouTube/something or?
It's Stephanie W329, because it was my Gmail, and they wouldn't let me change it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's those, and there's the sideberadio.com.
Okay.
And the show is on Live 365. So it's Side B Radio. It's on Live 365.
Okay.
I think that's it. Is that it?
Yeah, well, that's 6 different things right there. Do you feel like being a part of all of that has helped to has helped you to be successful with what you're putting out there, like more so than it would have been if you just posted a show online or something?
Oh yeah, you definitely need to be able to interact with your audience for sure.
And do you have one that you favor over the other, or do you try to be equal on all of them? Or
Twitter's the easiest because, like, honestly, I think it's because of the character limit.
Right.
Because it's so easy to just, it's almost like texting.
Yeah.
Especially if you have, like, a smartphone.
Yeah.
I'm on Tumblr a lot, and I try not to be so promotional on Tumblr. Like, that's why I have different blogs, because, like, the blog I'm on the most is more of, like, just me being a fangirl of, like, all the things I like.
Right.
So I'm kind of obsessed with that site. But it's nice because on Tumblr, you know, you can blog if you have, like, a lot of information to give.
Yeah.
Facebook I actually probably use the least. But now that there's ways to, like... Like, on Tumblr, I can link it to Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
And, like, there's that Hootsuite thing that you can, like, automatically schedule posts to go out.
Yeah.
So, I've been trying to use those to get more interaction. I think it's important to update all of them. And I was telling... Just name drop my friend again. I was telling Joey Richter.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because when he was trying to raise the money for Craig... the pilot that he's filming, he was neglecting his Facebook page, and I was like, you know, not everybody that's a fan of yours has Twitter. You need to do everything. So then, you know, then he posted it on Facebook too, and like, I mean, I don't know how much that helped, but he neglects his Facebook. He is like a Twitter only kind of guy.
Right.
And it's like, I know that's easiest because you can just send it like you're sending a text. But not everyone's on Twitter.
Do you ever get some of those people that on Twitter where they'll send like 10 tweets in a row or something because they can't fit it in one?
Right, yeah, and he does that all the time.
And you sort of feel like they're missing the point of Twitter?
Yeah.
Do you ever do that?
I'm a big tweeter. I Twitter all the time. I tweet all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes if I'm, like, in a mood to say something, like, to my Twitter people, I will do the multiple tweets. But there's also, like, there's a thing called Twit Longer, I think, where you can type a whole message and it's just one tweet.
Right. But they still have to go to that link, right? I mean,
yeah,
it won't show up.
Which is annoying.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sort of like... I don't know. I kind of get the point of the 140 thing, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, why do they even have sites like Twit Longer? Like, if you don't want to put your stuff into that limit, like, don't sign up for it, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Use Facebook. You know, you can write as much as you want on there.
Right, and that's why, like, Tumblr is really nice, too, because you can keep your... The thing with Facebook is you kind of can't be anonymous on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you can make a fake name, but with, like, Twitter or with Tumblr, you don't have to use a name at all if you don't want to.
Right.
And the first time I started my show, I wasn't saying my last name, and I was trying to sort of be kind of anonymous-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want any weird things to happen.
Right.
But, it just kind of got to the point where it was like, unless I'm going to use, like, a different name, I may as well just say my name because people are going to find out who I am anyway.
Yeah.
And, like, I haven't had any weird things happen.
Well,
I
used to think about that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't put this out there. I shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. But then I was like, well, honestly, like, I don't think that many people even pay attention to me that are going to care, you know? Like, if it actually becomes a thing, that at least that means people are paying attention to it, you know?
Right. I'm, like, there is, like, I have some anonymity. My audience doesn't know where I work, you know? Like, I do have, like, my professional life is nobody's business. Most of them don't even really know what I do. Every now and then I'll get people who ask me, like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, I'm a law clerk.
Just so you guys know, she runs a hot dog cart in Brooklyn. She says she's a law clerk. She's throwing you off. Don't listen to it. Don't believe the hype.
Well, like, I don't talk about, like, my office. I don't talk about my company. I don't talk about, you
that's
know.
That's Nathan's, just so y'all know. It's down on 52nd.
Okay, well...
See, she's trying to act like that street doesn't exist.
Yeah, there's no 52nd Street.
Sure, yeah. No 52nd Street. No Nathan's on 52nd, where Stephanie W. works. That place doesn't exist. It's only the law clerk building.
I don't know. I just feel like that kind of stuff is nobody's business, and I feel like also that there are people crazy enough that, like, they would go after my job.
Well, if those people get hungry enough...
Yeah, you're right.
They get crazy like when they're hungry. What if your name's really Kelly Johnson or something?
Maybe it is.
Now I just told everyone. Her name's not really Kelly Johnson. I can't tell you what it is. It may or may not be Stephanie Walsh.
Yeah. Well, actually, my dad had gotten offended when I wasn't using my last name. Because I think there was an episode of my show where I said, like, don't say my last name to my friend Sean was co-hosting with me.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, your last name's not good. And I was like, it's not that it's not good. I just don't want it out there. But my dad heard him say, like, oh, your last name's not a good name or something. And my dad got super offended. And I was like, I just don't want people, like, creeping on your house, Dad. Like,
how you got disowned because of your radio show.
Right, exactly.
Bad things are happening. And that's it for my interview with Stephanie Walsh. Thanks, everybody, for checking out the show. If you want to find us online, you can find us at facebook.com/undertheradar with Travis McLeod, on Twitter at undertheradarpc. Or if you don't want to do any of that, you can go on our website, which is utrshow.com. Hopefully, I will have some more episodes up soon. I did do an interview with AJ Marchetta of Groovenicks / Suicide City, which I am editing now and should be ready to go very soon. And as far as future interviews go, I plan on interviewing Joey DiStefano in the very near future. So thank you again for checking everything out. Check us out online, leave some feedback, and tell your friends. All right, see you later.